Okay, welcome to our first 2018 show of the On.net show. And today we have Shane Boyer.
Hey.
And we're going to be talking about Docker and lift and shift and things like that. So how about you do a quick introduction?
All right, Shane Boyer. I'm a cloud developer advocate and mainly focused on Visual Studio, .NET, .NET Core, Linux, containers. Trying to get everybody working in those tool sets and getting kind of our legacy applications into the cloud and getting some CI/CD and getting into getting on-prem applications up into the cloud and getting into some of these more modernizing your apps, right? And taking advantage of some of the cloud tools that are out there.
Definitely. I've talked to a bunch of customers about that. And I also assume going from VMs to Docker hosting on-prem also fits into that, if that was what you wanted to do.
Yeah, you can run Azure Stack would support that.
Yeah.
Or if you're running Server 2016, you can certainly run in containers and pull those from wherever, yeah.
Okay, so so with you this CDA role that you said, can you tell us a little bit about that, what that role does?
Sure. So our job really is to go out and talk to the community. We have modern web application developer advocates out there for JavaScript, Node, Angular. We've got Linux folks as well. And our job is to go out to the community, talk to them about their tooling, and find out what their kind of struggles are for running their type of applications in the cloud, and how do we help them do what they do in the cloud, in Azure specifically.
Right. So if I watched this show, and I was really interested in this, you say you help the community. Where should I find you to kind of chat a little bit?
Sure. Mostly we're in social media, so Twitter.
Twitter.
We have a couple of people now on Instagram and Facebook and places like that. So we are kind of where the community is.
Okay.
So if you're on Stack Overflow or if you're on some of the Linux groups, that's where we're going to be.
Okay, what about GitHub?
GitHub, definitely. We're doing a lot of test projects, taking what the tools that we're building, and we're involved in a lot of open source projects and building our own stuff out there. And if you've got, you're on Gitter, and we're talking about that,
Gitter.
That's a good place to engage with some of the things that we're doing. And we're building the same things that the community is building.
Okay, cool. So I think you have something to show us today, so how about we just jump right into that?
Okay, so mainly what I want to focus on, I've got a WCF application that, quite honestly, I built in 2015.
Right.
It's 2018 already.
Right, so that's kind of like .NET Framework 4.6 or maybe even 4.5.2 is when you first
I did one little update just to get it to 4.7, right? So that's not much, just some, maybe some security patches that are there, but the idea here is I want to take advantage of some of the other cloud pieces in Azure, like maybe Application Insights, and get some metrics and things that are going on there. But I also want to be able to just put it in a container, run it out there, and really not worry about it, not just put it up there and be done. Visual Studio now has Docker tools, and I can just install the workload with now with the 2017. I'm on 15.6. And so this WCF app, I've loaded up here, just pulled it down from my GitHub repo. And this is a quick little app that just gives me a collection of people. It's fun to play with, right?
Totally.
So I right-click this, and now we have this little add Docker support. yeah, I do want to overwrite this. We've got a couple things in here. So what this does for me, move this down, is it quickly pulls down and identifies the Docker base image that I need for my specific type of application.
Definitely.
So it knows that I'm already running WCF, and I need a Windows image, so it pulls down the Windows Server Core for me.
Right. And Docker supports both Linux and Windows images. So because we're using .NET Framework and WCF, we're definitely on the Windows side of things.
If I was running an ASP.NET Core image project, it would pull down that specific image. It knows what I'm doing. What type of the context that I'm running in.
Exactly.
Now, it'll build the base image for my project. If I went out to the command line here and just pulled up Docker images now, it'll actually see WCF people. It tags it as a dev mode, and it's going to create that image for me, be ready for me to push out there.
Right. 14 minutes ago, that's when we were playing with just
a few minutes ago, right.
just to make sure it worked.
So it adds this Docker Compose project to our solution, and I can Now I have a Docker kind of debug mode, and if I hit play here, it'll actually fire this up, and I can run my debug and debug right inside the container and be ready to iterate on this if I wanted to add additional functionality to this.
Right, so you're getting the Docker experience even in the debug mode. It's basically Docker all the time.
Yep, I click on my service one. If I wanted to bring up the good old-fashioned WCF test client, I can pull that up, hit my invoke, and it would pull back just like we're used to seeing.
Right.
In our
yeah, seems like the test client needs some help, but
yeah, it does exist. The test client's been around for a long time. My invoke button's very tiny.
Yeah, so one of the things when I first started using Docker, I was kind of thinking of, you know, at some level, Docker is a virtualization technology, and so it's like, oh well, how do I go hit some endpoint in it because virtualization, blah blah blah. And it's not nearly as complicated as that, right?
No, I mean, it exposes the IP address.
Exactly.
Right? And it tunnels right to the IP. And you'll notice that as it was building the image, if I stop this here and look at our output, let me just rebuild this. As we are building the actual container, you'll notice that it actually does like a, looks for the, sorry, go back.
It's going too fast.
It's going so fast. We look at our output window. Kind of does an IP config in the bottom, and it looks for this. Here, you see the 172. This is the actual IP address that it exposes
right.
on the client. Now we can hit that and do our testing.
Yeah, that makes a ton of
and
sense.
And we attach the debugger to it as well, so we can now hit our breakpoints as we're iterating, just make sure everything is good.
Right. So I'm this way, and I'm kind of guessing you might be too, that when I create a new type of project, or maybe I add a new type of file to it, I kind of want to know about what each file type is. You know, I want to be kind of a master of my domain, mm-hmm. for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
And so when you add Docker support, it does add some file types that might be a little foreign to people.
Right.
And so this is how I approach it. You can tell me if you do differently. I think the Docker file is definitely something to have a little bit of a knowledge of.
Right.
What those different statements mean, particularly what the base image is that I'm taking a dependency on.
Mm-hmm.
The Docker Compose files, I feel a little bit like they're more in the kind of machinery slash plumbing camp, and I pay a little less attention to those because mostly the Visual Studio team takes care of those for me, and I don't really need to spend a lot of time with those. Is that fair, or
yeah,
do you have a different view?
I think that's pretty fair. If you're, this is inside of a context of a single project, right?
Yeah.
So if I had multiple projects here, the tooling also supports multiple projects. So the Compose, you know, the semantics of that word is that if I had multiple projects, the Compose would say, okay, you've got a WCF application, I might have a, I don't know, maybe a web application as well as hitting that endpoint. It could actually add that to it as well and put those together. If I open up the Compose YAML file, all it's here is saying, I'm gonna use the image I just built for you. The context is use that particular project, and then the Docker file says use that particular Docker file.
Yeah.
You know, if we go in further, and look at the override, all it's here says use port 80. So it's just saying, it's just describing what to do.
It's also kind of a little bit just, pardon me. If you use there's a lot of things you can specify on the Docker command line when you Docker run an image. And to some degree, this is just kind of code, just helping you specify those things in a YAML file.
Right, I could just type every single one of those parameters out on the command line. You know, Docker, use this particular YAML file, expose these particular ports, use this context, and the Compose file helps me to kind of describe that.
Right. So now we got this application into a Docker container.
Mm-hmm.
First question is did it get slower?
No, it's the same thing.
Yeah,
right?
Okay.
Same thing.
Next one is, now that it's in a container, what kind of new opportunities do I have? What's the cool stuff I can do because of that?
Right, so the one thing I can do is, one thing that doesn't change, a lot of developers ask the question is, you know, does this change my motions to get this to where I want it to go? Like normally I would just right click this thing and put it into my IIS instance, you know, in some server, in a server room.
Totally.
Right? So for the first thing is, I can just go into my project and I want to just publish my application, right? So maybe I just go to my project and I would just say, I want to publish my WCF people. And the options that I have here, Now I can publish it to an Azure App Service. I can push those images that I've created to a container registry. So I can push it to an Azure Container Registry, which is a private registry in Azure. Mm-hmm. I can push it to Docker Hub. So if I have an open source project, now I have an image that I can push it out there. Everybody can pull that down. Or I can choose custom. So if I have an on-prem private registry that I'm running inside of my own home, home being the company.
Let's check out that home.
Stack of Raspberry Pis. I'm pushing it there. Yeah. So I can push it there for me to pull down. The other opportunity here is even if I push to an external registry, I can run that image now on my server 26 in-house too.
Yeah.
Right.
2016. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So those are, you know, that all doesn't change. It's still the same opportunity.
Okay. So can you show us at least one example of that?
Yeah. So I've pushed this to the cloud already on my image. And if I go up into Azure now and look at what this looks like, is here's that WCF people in the cloud, and it's a repository. It's tagged my image.
Right. So this is your basically Shane's private Docker container registry.
Right. So now I have this opportunity here where I can run an instance of this.
Yeah. And just one point I want to make is, you know, I'm super familiar with using Docker Hub. I have my own personal account, and I have some, you know, little images that I've pushed up there that are kind of samples, and those anyone in the world can access at any time. Mm-hmm. The container registries in Azure are basically the opposite.
Right.
Like literally only the people that you've given permission can access those. So it's like 100% lockdown by default.
Correct. And the publish commands that we're using in Visual Studio, it uses my Azure account. So it has those username, passwords, that authentication.
Right.
So I don't have to put that in there. It already knows that. And when I'm now running an instance here, it's going to ask me, hey, where would you like to publish this? And it's going to use that subscription so it knows that same AD that's going between here and there. I can publish it to, we don't want to publish it to Linux because this is a Windows-based
image.
But now I can push it to Azure Container Service. I can push it to Service Fabric if I wanted to, or in the future we'll support it on, you know, Kubernetes, things like that. And now I have the opportunity to scale that out with those services based on CPU, et cetera. So
okay.
Those are the opportunities we have.
Cool. So can you show us the app actually running on Azure in some way, or you haven't done that yet?
I haven't published it yet, but it would be this. That's the good thing is it looks just like it did on this 172. So 172 is just a Docker provided IP.
Yeah.
And I can debug there. If I push it up into Azure, same thing.
Okay.
And put it there. It's not localhost like I was running WCF on IS Express.
Right.
So that's a big difference there.
Right. This looks like a real app.
So you and I were talking before, and the concern comes up often where, you know, this base image in the Docker file, it says, you know, it's from Microsoft. So I have some comfort, right? Okay, it's from Microsoft, but you'll see images out there in Docker Hub. It's like from, you know, Joe Bob. And well, maybe I don't know what Joe Bob's doing with his images, and I have to maybe dig into GitHub and see all that. We have Patch Tuesday releases that are coming out.
We totally do. Actually, once a month.
Especially with the recent, you know, meltdowns and everything
CPU
that's going on.
Vulnerabilities, yeah.
So I guess the concern is, how do we make sure we have the latest patches and stuff applied to the Windows stuff? How do we handle that stuff?
Right, so it turns out that my team actually owns all the .NET base images for both Linux and Windows. So we take updating them super seriously. We update them every month for Patch Tuesday.
Nice.
And we push them to Docker Hub, and then you can just re-pull our images every Patch Tuesday, or really any time of the month, and then you'll have the latest. Now, if you just Docker build and don't Docker pull, you don't get the new image, and that's just a function of the Docker client.
Provided I have the image already on my machine.
Yeah, provided you have, good point.
Yeah.
If you already have that image on your machine, when you run Docker build, it's just going to say, oh, I found one. I'm good with that. It's not going to go check to see if there's a later one. So you do need to type Docker pull, and I actually have a little trick.
Okay.
Which isn't really a trick, but if you go and type Docker history,
okay,
and then Docker history, and then I think your image was WCF people. You got to type it right,
Had to type it right.
WCF people, colon dev.
All right.
Yeah, we might need a tiny bit more screen real estate if that's at all possible.
Let's do
I think
this.
That was going maybe the wrong direction.
You want it to see more.
Yes.
Here, let's do this.
Yeah, it'd be helpful if we had. Anyway, okay, right. That's perfect.
Yep.
And so what that's showing us is that every single layer in that image, and what's very interesting is really two points.
Okay.
One is the base image was, depending on how you look at it, somewhere between 3 and 6 days ago. So you know it's super fresh.
Okay.
Ignore the very first line.
So not this 3 months ago.
Yeah, 3 months ago. Okay. That's something different. That's basically when that particular operating system, Windows Server 1709, shipped. The second line is the most important one. That's when it was last patched. So that was 6 days ago. And then here's the trick. If you actually go grab that string, the 10.0.
This one here?
Yeah, the one that ends in 192. You have to grab the whole thing, though.
All right.
Or at least I would recommend you grab the whole thing.
If it lets me.
Yeah. Computers. Otherwise, we're going to have to kind of like do. There we go. And go put that into your favorite search engine. And just literally just drop it in there. And then you'll see the very first line.
This here?
Yeah, is Microsoft's documentation for that particular patch Tuesday. And it says everything that was in that patch. So you know that this image was last updated on January 3rd.
Nice.
So I'd say that's giving us some warm fuzzies at the moment that we're probably in pretty good shape.
Very nice.
So
that's just using this second line, this install update. Okay.
That's basically the layer of the
Docker image that was applied 6 days ago.
Yeah, that was the patch Tuesday Windows update patch.
Okay. And so is there a cadence that other than I know every Tuesday?
No, it's that's literally the cadence.
Okay. So I should probably go and check my images on a Tuesday and if there was to see if I should apply something or update my images.
Yeah. I mean the updates happen throughout the day.
Right.
So like
maybe
don't start at like 8 a.m. Eastern time
okay.
and expect anything to have happened.
Sure.
So, you know, if you're super aggressive, then do it on the Tuesday. If you're a little less that way, just wait till the Wednesday, and then for sure it'll all.
Yeah, so I know on the Linux-based images, we're doing apt-get updates and checking that stuff. At least, you know, if I'm doing some Node-based stuff, I might be doing that. So this would be a similar type of, let me check my history, then run the update.
And this is not unique to Windows images, meaning you could type Docker history on a Linux image.
Of course, I'm saying that's, and then run that, go run my update afterwards on my base images.
No, it should all be there.
Okay.
Yeah, so, well, you would do a new Docker build.
Pull the new image is what I mean.
Pull and Docker build.
Get the update.
Okay.
Go pull the new image and then redeploy.
Okay.
Cool.
Awesome. So what would you say, let's just recap of basically what we saw and who it's for.
Yeah. So in basically now, if you're installing the Azure workload and also the Docker workload, I think it's included now by default, we now have the ability to take our legacy .NET full framework applications for Windows, add the new Docker images. This specific one we use WCF. It could be .NET, API type of applications. Push that stuff to a registry, be it Docker Hub or Azure Container Registry, and then deploy that onto the cloud and take advantage of things like Application Insights. We can add that into the application. One thing we didn't talk about was maybe now implementing something like CI/CD to check for the new patch Tuesday, rebuild our image, redeploy, and have that automated as opposed to, hey, Joe, Sally, please run these manual updates on the command line and do the push. So now we can implement something like, Visual Studio Team Services, or if you run Jenkins or something like that, now you can implement this into a regular CI/CD pipeline. It's available in Visual Studio with 15.6 and they just continue to improve. So here we took something from 2015, and we're able to do it with no code changes, really. We just added a Docker file.
Oh, totally. And you could go definitely further back. We actually have Dynamo Framework 3.5 base images as well. So yeah. You can kind of go all the way back in
and
time.
It, you know, as a funny story, in a previous blog post, I actually took Nerd Dinner, if you remember Nerd Dinner, and I did the exact same thing and pushed it out and running it on Azure Container Service with no code changes. And I was like, wow, that was quick. It took me like 30 minutes.
Too easy.
Yeah. So, a lot of fun.
Okay. Thanks, Shane. This was awesome.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for telling everyone in the audience about what's new in Docker with Visual Studio.
Cool.
Thanks, everyone, for watching, and we'll see you next time.